my recorder wouldn't turn on because the batteries were dead, but I took out the batteries and swapped them, and now it works. So we'll see. We'll see how long this lasts for. But man, I was just hanging out with my friend Brad. Saturday night, we just hung out basically, excuse me, basically played video games, fucking watched TV on his big fucking cool projector that he's got. And I started walking home, and instead of walking up to where I could catch the subway to get to my house, I started walking the old route home over down Queen West, up through Trinity Bellwoods, and over toward Parkdale, to where my old apartment was. Actually, I'm almost there now. But as I was walking down that path, I could start to feel a little bit of the melancholy set in of just like going back through the old route, back to the old apartment where, like, right now I could just go over there, I'm almost there, and just go in and fucking go upstairs, and the big TV would be there and all the video games, and that's where Craig lived, and like, I didn't stay there for 3 years on fucking by accident, man. It was because it was awesome. Like, it was a really cool time in my life. It was really cool. And then that made me think of just how my original plan was to go to like Newfoundland or like Vancouver. And then my plan at the end of this month was to go to Vancouver again. And then my lease got extended and it just made it much easier to stay in Toronto. And I do like Toronto. So it's like, all right, that path is switched again. Oh, there's the old apartment on top of Mac's Cigar Store, which was just a convenience store. Oh, there's Craig's old room. The light's on in the living room. There's Matt's room. My room's in the back. I don't see any people. Yeah, I wonder who lives there now with their highly inflated rent. The rent went up by like $600. Bam. They must have been happy for us to leave. But yeah, you know, Craig still lives near me. I was just at his place the other day to play a bunch of Binding of Isaac, which I beat for the first time. Matt's still in Toronto, but he's way at the other end. I don't see him very often. That's usual, though. I've known him forever, and I just, you know, we go long stretches without hanging out much. But yeah, just, you know, the two paths in the woods, the this, the that, the one thing could have led to this thing, to whatever. But before I had a chance to get all nostalgic, I do feel like I've kind of broken out of that quite a bit with just this general, like, exercisingness and feeling more present in my body. Oh, there's that Domino's that was going to open. Man. I got to text Craig about that. Man, he used to order Domino's all the time. Now there's a Domino's literally a block away. Oh, it's 2 a.m. I'll try to remember to text him tomorrow. I don't know if he's up. But yeah, I've been feeling a lot more present ever since I started, like, exercising and getting into this being in your body fucking mindset. And then, so I started walking down Ossington and then Dundas West, which is just kind of the West End bar scene. There's a little batch of that. And it's just cool to be, just even though I'm not hanging out with anyone there tonight, not out drinking, not, I'm just walking past, but it's cool just to be around that energy and just that vibe of people hanging out and just girls walking by and like doing dumb dances and smiling at me and stuff, and it's cool. And at the same time, I have these headphones in, and I'm listening to some random TED Talks that I had on here. And one of them is about the power of seduction. It's this woman talking about, like, Cuban culture and how just, like, people are raised there to be more aware of their bodies and just more open to masculine and feminine energy and to not button it down and just to let it out. And it's just a fun thing between people. And then the next one was this girl who teaches, like, classes and stuff about, they're like pole dance classes, you know, but they're really like just to sort of teach women how to get in touch with their feminine energy. This was when I went on the tear of downloading a bunch of stuff about feminism, is how I got on this track of YouTube suggested stuff. And I mean, I'm all about it, man. Like, I think it's just as important to learn about feminine as it is the masculine. I feel like it's just, you know, both sides. I just feel like, you know, two sides of the coin. It's just one side helps you learn about the other side. And I was just feeling really good, just like to be around all this type of energy and just like have these thoughts in my head and just like, yeah. And even just to feel a little bit like underneath my shirt right now, you know, I'm starting to get some minor fucking guns and just like some kind of a normal masculine shape. Like, I used to like working the weekend shift sometimes at the coffee shop in Vancouver just to be around that energy of downtown Vancouver and just to have a reason to be there. Otherwise, who knows what else I'd be doing, but I wouldn't be there. Especially downtown Vancouver, it's really dedicated to like clubbing, really. But I was just kind of around it because I was working at the coffee shop and it kind of like gave me an excuse to be there type of thing when I really didn't feel like, especially in my early 20s, really didn't feel like I fit in with that scene. Didn't feel comfortable with it at all. Just wouldn't even have known how to approach it. But I got to just sort of soak it up. So that feels similar walking through the old fucking bar stretch, except I just feel like I could, like, be part of this now. So much easier. Even just all that stuff I was talking about last episode, these, like, revelations of just understanding more about my own thoughts about men and women and how they had been getting weird and how, I, like, they're back on track now. And I just feel so much more confident in myself. And, like, I could just approach not just women, but people and just be open and just be myself. And I just feel so much more confident that it's just who I am is okay. And like, it's not nothing I gotta like buckle down and it's not gonna get weird and it's gonna be fine. And all these like, I don't know. I mean, in a lot of ways, like I'm a total weirdo. I mean, I know that I'm like an eccentric person or whatever. But also, I mean, I've just got, for a fucking nerdy guy that used to work at a comic store for years and years, a pretty good level of social skills too. I mean, just that whole run in New York alone. I mean, even though I was on Keith and the Girl as this kind of a weird guy, whatever, I was still on that show like fucking so many times. It was always the go-to. You know, if they had a new guest that was like, I don't know if this is gonna work out. Hey, McNally, you wanna come be on? Smooth this thing, keep this ship sailing. I usually am the person that, besides New York and other times in my life, like, who's kind of at the center, who brings the people together, who kind of marshals the group or whatever. Like, I feel like I got all these social skills, but I've just never really been confident enough to just go unleash them on the world, you know, just to go use them in random situations. It still, you know, needs to be something where I know some people and it's relatively safe and everything's kind of set up. And I feel like I'm breaking out of that mold now. Like, one of my ideas for my 7 days podcast is to find different groups on meetup.com. See if I can find a different one every day and go to a different meetup every day. And no matter what they're about, no matter what people are there, like, I know I can handle it. I know I can integrate myself. I can, because not only is it being more confident in myself, but also that idea of the best way to serve yourself is to serve others. Like, instead of meeting people and thinking, what can they do for me? Think, what can I do for them? And I can do things for them. I can do things for anyone. I have skills. Some skill that I have is useful to someone, you know, or like any person that I meet, I have some skill that can be handy to them. I can do a lot of stuff. I got a lot of abilities. I got a lot of shit going on that is cool that I'm just not really letting out. So yeah, it was like, as I was walking down the street and yeah, like this girl came out of, it wasn't a bar, I don't know what was going on, some event though. Her friend came out first and then she came out after and she was just like smiling, did a little dance and like did the dance at me and I just gave her a big grin and I was like, yeah, that's so cool. And then at the same time hearing this lady on the TED talk about, you know, like the confidence when a woman really gets comfortable with her femininity. I always have such a hard time saying that word. Femininity? Is that right? Seems like a lot of N's. and just how that confidence that she exudes, and she likened it to like if someone lost the use of their arm and then they get it back, you know, like that's how much more powerful she felt once she got in touch with her feminine side. And that's just so similar to how I feel about getting in touch with, like, my masculine side of, like, learning about my body and getting more comfortable with it. And I really realized in that moment that this woman in the TED Talk was describing, you know, this woman, this, like, archetype of a confident, self-assured woman. And I was walking past this really confident-seeming, happy, cool, expressive woman on the street. And just thinking, like, yeah, like, that's the vibe, that's the thing, that's what I want. And the reason I don't know people like that, or I'm not with a person like that, is because I am not like that yet. Like, I'm still working on it myself. And I know I have it in me, and I know I can bring this out of myself. I know I've got to not just sit around and talk about it and think about it. Like, I just got to put myself in situations to be like that, to be that person. If you do the thing, you'll have the power. And, like, these times in this run of episodes, you know, where I know some days I'm like, oh, I'm opie, I'm so sad. And some days I'm like, yeah, I feel so cool and good and grounded and strong. And I really think that the good times are not, yeah, just like some manic fucking defense mechanism. I think they're real. I think I just am just learning how to be this way and to do this and to be this person. And to not be, like, sullen and not be closed and not be overly critical and not be all these ways that are just, like, trying to defend myself when it's just because I'm, like, uncomfortable and or I'm scared or whatever. Like, I know I can be this, like, open, expressive person. Man, it's so weird. I was on, like, a loud street before. Now I'm in a quiet suburb, and just, like, weird. So people, I keep walking past people. I don't see anyone now, but I don't want to just be talking super loud. It's just weird. As I'm talking about being more expressive, and I'm like, damn it, like a mouse. Just like a little mouse. I don't want to be too loud. I don't want to freak anyone out. I wonder if this is the street that always has the little book giveaway. It's like a little treehouse thing, a little birdhouse someone made, but they just put books in it. Although now that it's colder out, maybe that's not a thing now. But I was thinking about, you know, this girl I've been all obsessed with. And I know it's weird to talk about the ways that we aren't compatible and we don't fit, because it sounds like I'm, like, insulting her, and I don't mean it that way. I don't mean to. But it is hard to talk about these things without coming off that way a bit. And it's just that, you know, no insult intended or whatever, she is not that kind of person. She is, like, there's those little moments, those little times when things are going really well, and you can see the kind of person inside her that is just confident and fun and happy. But it's not how she is most of the time, and it's not something I could really bring out in her. I hoped that I could, but I really couldn't. I mean, I wasn't even bringing it out in myself. Like, I'm just learning about it now and really getting on board with this now. And I think it's that, you know, I knew her for a few years. She knew all about me. She knows my whole history. She knows my stupid life where I don't have a job. All these things that I don't have to explain, like, she already knew, and I think that all contributed. Because when I think about, like, that image I just talked about the confident, cool, like, really secure and happy, expressive person, like, that seems intimidating to me. That seems really frightening. Like, a person like that is like, yeah, of course that's the kind of person that I should be with, but that's scary because I'm not quite there yet. I'm not quite ready for that. Or can I pull that off? Can I be with a person like that? Can I be like that? I even wonder a bit if that's partially what was trouble between me and Ayan in New York. Like, Ayan was a weird girl. Again, no offense, she was just a very unusual girl, but very confident, very self-assured, very directed. And I was not, you know? I had a certain amount of reflected glory from Keith and the girl, but as for what I was actually doing, it's not all that much. And I'm sure that's partially, I don't know, I should really spend some nice meditation time just thinking about Ayan. Because it's so hard to see my part in that and how things didn't really work out between us. but I think I'll be able to understand it more. But off the top of my head, I don't know. I just figure there's bound to be stuff there just based on realizing kind of just how timid I've been in life. And I mean, I know I went to New York, I went to Vancouver, I went here to Toronto, I've done a bunch of stuff. But I'm more timid than I want to be. I'm more timid than I think I should be, than like the pure like version of myself deep down. I mean, I was not ready for a girl like Ian. I don't know how I fucking landed her in the first place. I'm not ready for a girl like that girl I passed on the street, and I wasn't ready for this girl here in Toronto. I mean, as much as I say like that I was attracted to her, partially, not entirely, I mean, I don't know, partially because it was someone that I knew and it seemed safer, or it seemed like more, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but I wasn't ready for that girl either. She kicked me to the curb because I was treating her like something that she isn't either. Like, it's not a fair way to represent her, it's not a fair way to see her. And I think that was pretty obvious to her, so she's like, get out of here, you. Oh, all right, I think my brain has run out of gas. I'm gonna play a song by Rancid called Killing Zone that was on, like, a Give 'Em the Boot compilation, I think. I was going through this pre-hipster phase, this fucking, where I had a Walkman and I would dub things to cassette tape. This was in like 2004. Before cassettes started to come back and be cool again, I was already making it happen. And really, I just liked the nostalgia of it again. Like, I liked the feeling of putting in a tape again. It reminded me of being a teenager. It was cool. And I remember I had this song on a mixtape that I made. Come straight to the killing zone. Now the war zone. Come straight to the killing zone. Now the war zone. It's on the arms and we're all gone. It's a cool song. Don't fight it, just hold it, then ride it. definitely got a bit of this nice stride back that I was kind of losing a little bit lately. I think like I've reached the limits of kind of how novel this can feel when I'm just fucking hanging out by myself doing exercises. I've reached the limit of what rectal probing can teach us. Definitely just being around that vibe of fucking downtown and then just that Parkdale strip. Not Parkdale, what is that neighborhood even called? Ossington. Oh, it feels so good. And it's just like another example of not trying to whip my brain into some fucking frame of mind, you know, just like with my pure like Doctor Strange mind powers or whatever. To get my body involved, be around fucking activity and be around other people and just like, bah, yeah. And like, I think I even just, it's just working on me so well now because I just feel like a lot of these mental blocks that I had are not there now. Like, I'm just open to it. I'm ready to go with it. Oh, like I think sometimes about how things in life could have been, now my life's been fine, but it could have been cooler. Like New York, dude, I lived in New York for like a year and a half. Really, the way that could have really worked for me is if I really just struck out on my own, if I had those balls, which I did not. But if, you know, I had the Keith and the Girl people as my back pocket side thing and I went off and tried to find my own friends and do my own thing, that would have been the thing to do. That would have been awesome if I had had that kind of wherewithal, that kind of awareness of myself and understanding of things, you know? And I think I did have this feeling when I moved to Vancouver because I didn't know anyone. I had to build everything by myself and it was so hard, but I did it. And I think that's where I had that idea to move to Newfoundland because I wouldn't know anybody and I would have to do it. I would have to just go off on my own. I was trying to like hardwire it, trying to crowbar my fucking life open. But now that I've ended up here back in Toronto, I feel like maybe this can work in a more, in a less severe way. Like I feel like I needed those severe measures before. Because I was just a severe case, you know, of being stuck and not knowing where to go and not knowing what to do with my life and not being confident, not knowing how to move forward. But maybe I don't need things to be that severe. Like this little fracture in our friend group lately, I think this could be an okay thing. Like, it is moving me in new directions. Like I'm hanging out with some different people. I'm meeting some other groups. Or even just people I knew a little, I'm like hanging out with them more. I'm like shifting the focus. You know, I think I'm gonna, this guy Jason I've been hanging out with and watching wrestling with, he talked about a wrestling podcast. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll do it if you do it. If you set it up, if you handle it, that's fine. But I should just be like, let's do it. Let's fucking do it, man. Let's record a goddamn podcast. Just as an excuse to hang out with him more and like, yeah, just fucking, wow. Because that's what I got to do. I mean, that's a weird example, to go do a wrestling podcast with a guy that I know that likes wrestling. That's maybe not the most, that's fun, that's cool, but that's not like what I was just talking about being downtown. Yeah, I just got to get in some environment that is more physical and is more about physical awareness and physical interactions between people. I just feel like if I put myself in that situation, I'm not going to bulk where I would before. Like I would kind of like it, but I wouldn't really want to be part of it. I wouldn't really feel comfortable. Yeah, man, I just feel so nice that I'm getting over that. Yeah, dude. Man, me and that girl Shannon talking about exercise on Facebook. I mean, she's like a certified trainer. She's a hard body. Ambulance going by. Whereas, like, I would have a hard time. I don't know where to start with gyms and stuff. Like, I don't have anyone to go with. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to be introduced to the whole system. But that could be something, just to be around that sort of vibe. And yeah, I don't know. I'm going to find something. I'm going to figure out ways, man. All right, I think it's time to finally find a bus stop, take the fucking night bus, get the fuck home, because it is getting late. I'm gonna play Cherry Bomb by The Runaways, that I really only know because of Guardians of the Galaxy, but man, that movie was so good. So cool. James Gunn, man. Ah, so good. The soundtrack was so awesome. Cherry Bomb! I just got home. It's 3 a.m. and, you know, back at my apartment, back by myself, away from that vibe of being downtown and being outside and doing stuff. Yeah, and like, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff that can come of this apartment of, like, you know, I've talked about of my self-improvement shit that I'm doing and getting writing done and getting on the ball and doing things, but I do think I've been spending too much time here. I do think that I definitely got to get out more. I got to be more social. Because as soon as I get back here, almost immediately my mind starts going back to just the same old mopey shit. It's like, yeah, but when I'm just out and about, it's fine. I'm doing stuff. Like, maybe I wasn't ready before. Maybe I needed a little heal time. I think I'm ready now. I think it's time. Time to go out and hit up the world, bro. All right, so to finish this off, I recorded a bunch of stuff with my friend Brad about... It was for my other podcast, for the 7 Days podcast, but it's too much stuff, it's too long, so I'm just gonna put the outtakes at the end here of this ham radio. And I guess that'll probably be it for this episode, so thank you for listening, man, woman, whoever's out there. Whoever's out there. This is so magical. I'm just talking to people through a little recorder in my hand that's gonna go through magic, electronic internet magic, to talk to people from all over. That's fucking crazy, man. Okay. We'll be right back.
was at in Birmingham, right? On business.
You say you also went to karaoke while you were there?
Like, it was the only one I could find, really. The, you know, like, the doorman guy, you know, I asked him, so where could a man do some karaoke in this town, right? Like, as though I were, you know, asking where I could, you know, get sexual services, right? I always like to play it that way. And
I mean, it's kind of like that. Why else do people do karaoke?
It is public masturbation. You are correct. I think it was Wednesday night. Yeah, he was like, oh yeah, on Wednesday night, this guy does a thing, live band karaoke. I'm like, oh, that sounds cool, right? So I get to the bar. Again, beer's like a dollar, right? But this is like a real bar this time. Okay, beer's $2, but, you know, I'm like, wow, right? It's, how do they stay in business? They drink a lot, apparently. And the thing is, like, eventually they're paying like $4 or something for shots of Fireball, but that still doesn't work for me. I still don't see that as a viable economic model. Not really. But yeah, and I'm there and I'm quite early, but it's like there's nothing else to do, right? There were two other karaoke places advertising, but I went to them and there was nothing. One of them had moved it to Thursday. I'm sure the logistics of this are all fascinating, but it's like, this is just my dedication to try and find a place. And so I'm there, and eventually it starts, right? And the guy is really awesome, right? He had an AT-AT toy with the pod bay, or with the side open for his tip jar, right? And nice. It's like, but it was just him with a guitar and I think a couple of looping stations, right? Because I don't think he did it with one looping. I don't think he did all that shit with one looping station. It was actually really impressive how he, like, you know, he'd go, you know, set up the bass line or something, and then start it looping, and then start playing other things and sing along with it. I was like, wow, that's cool, right? So, you know, the number of songs that he had listed were, you know, I was like, oh shit, you know, that's...
Man, though, that's pretty cool for a karaoke thing. That's weird.
It worked out way better than I thought, right? You know, and... You know, the selection was kind of low, but I was like, okay, well, you know. But I was like, oh, he has I'll Melt With You by Modern English. And I was like, that is so crazy that he has that, because that's one of my go-to songs. And I'm like, excellent. And so we did that, and that worked out relatively well. And one thing that was cool there was, like, I taught him how to play a couple other songs that I wanted to sing, and we did, or I taught him the chord progression. He's a genius. He was able to figure out, like, you know, little melody shit himself, right? But I was like, oh yeah, here's the I remember the chord progressions. Here they are. Boom, 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 right? And so, you know, All My Lovin', of course, is one of my go-to songs. And we didn't do it up, but just while we were, you know, while I was showing him, you know, what to do with it, a third guy came up and started, you know, and heard us and, you know, started debating what exact chord should go where. I still think he was wrong in some places, but, but we, all three of us were just kind of like singing it together, you know, and I was like, and I got to the point where I was like, well, when my turn came up, I was like, well, that's good. I did All My Lovin' to enough of an extent, because there's no one else in the room, right? Like a four or five people maybe, you know, in line to sing up. The only, also the only gay man I saw in Alabama, you know? Yeah. I'm used to seeing a lot more at karaoke nights. It's like, yeah. Let's see. That was a really cool bar, though. The guy that came up and argued... what was funny is, in a later conversation, it turns out he actually knew French. He had lived in France for like 2 years, and that was so cool, right? Talking, I was like, oh, this is neat. And we got talking about like 60s yay yay singers, right? This is like, yeah, because I'm really totally into I'm totally into that at the moment. And it turns out he was into it, and he gave me a recommendation or something I'm going to listen to at some point, and I will. It'll be great. And then to cap the evening off, I showed the guy how to do Take On Me, and we did it.
Nice.
Oh yeah, yeah, sweet.
Man, yeah, that really is kind of the coolest karaoke thing.
It's the coolest karaoke story I have, I think, you know.
That's so weird too, with like a cool like kind of karaoke and like all set up and neat and ad-ads and shit, but not any people there. Like, how weird, right? What a weird world.
Well, I mean, it's like there weren't like...
What day of the week was that?
It was Wednesday. Yeah, which is pretty good, usually a pretty good karaoke day, right? Thursday, the days everyone wants to do karaoke, and I think that's a mistake. I don't know, you know? I think Sunday and Wednesday are the best days because, you know, because then the place is full of losers just like you, you know, as opposed to cool people who are just slumming karaoke, which I find Thursday. Saturday is just the worst, though, because then you get the just people who are professional karaoke, you know.
Maybe like that's the secret problem to living in a place like Birmingham is like it's got a million people and it seems like a fairly bustling metropolis, but people that want to go do cool stuff maybe are just not there, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, right? Like, well, even, I didn't see any.
Even here in Toronto, which is, like I said, the only thing in Canada that is worth anything to the rest of the world, like I looked up writing groups on meetup.com. And there's like one, maybe two, and it's like that's it. Well, really?
All you found?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, I found more than that, but they're all terrible, and you shouldn't bother.
Well, I just want to go hang out with people. I got nothing to do all week.
I
need friends, man. That's all I'm looking for.
Right. Right. Yeah. But no, what I mean by terrible is it's like, you know, I feel like there's a good joke to be had in like, you know, meetup group titled "Meetup Organizer Needs Husband." You know, and it's like, and that is that they'll meet every week until the organizer meets someone she's interested in enough, and then she'll shut it down.
Right. Well, right? I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking. Is like I had no intention of bringing any writing to be, dissected or to even really give a serious critique to anyone there. I just want to see who's there, if there's anyone I would want to hang out with.
Like, they started up one for like. Table, you know, like doing table reads of scripts, right? And I'm like, man, I don't really want to, you know, have anything read. I mean, I'd like it, but, you know, not really. But I'd love to read, you know. But the guy organizing it is, I can just automatically tell he's an insufferable douchebag just from the way he writes. I guess he's writing what he knows, right? But holy shit, yeah, I'll show it to you in a minute.
This one I found, they only meet once a month, and it's at some bar near Eglinton, and it seemed okay, but the day I found the thing was, it was that night for the month, and I was like, I'm really not ready to go today.
Yeah. You should go to the French meetup.
Well, I was thinking that'd be an interesting thing to do for one of these podcasts also, is go to a meetup every day, find seven things happening, one per day, and go to that, go to those. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, definitely. But no, yeah, I think you'd have more fun at the French meetup than you, than you initially think.
Yeah, well, that was another idea, was to try to describe my day using only French as one of these podcasts. But that would be very limited listenership for that one. But
yeah, sometimes in meetings I didn't have a lot to do, so I practiced translating snippets of what people were saying into French and writing it with my left hand. That's where you say, yeah, I've hit the end of the internet there, eh? Yeah.
The world. been white. I'll stop the world and melt with you. You've seen the difference.